Mark chapter 5 this morning, Mark chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 25. It's a very familiar passage. I don't know how many times I've used Mark chapter 5, this passage, the woman with the issue of blood, in a message, but I've never worn it out.
Amen.
And it will never wear out, and there's always fresh insight and fresh revelation. Amen. That's the Bible is the only book like that. You can read it over and over and over again and get fresh revelation, fresh insight. There's unending layers of understanding and insight and revelation and truth in the Word of God. Amen? Mark chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?"' And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Praise God. So I want to start out this morning by looking at the operation of faith in this woman. Now, as we get into this, I want to ask you a question. Why do you think that these things are written down, that this story in particular and the other accounts of people who interacted with the Lord and received a miracle, received a healing, received divine protection or provision, why are they written down in the Bible? Do you have any idea?
As an example,
exactly. Why did God do it? He didn't do it just as a history lesson. This is not just a history, you know, something, "Oh, well, that happened. Isn't that great?" But no, this is written down as an example for us. It's written down to number one, to inspire us. Jesus said at the end, he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Well, I thought about that one day. Well, if her faith can make her whole, then my faith can make me whole.
Amen.
If her faith made her whole, your faith can make you whole. That ought to inspire us. But more than inspiration, also we find instruction here. That if we'll follow the same principles that these people followed, we can expect the same results.
Amen.
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 Yes. Praise God. I believe that.
Glory to God.
So first of all, let's look at this. The Bible says that she had suffered many things from many physicians, and she had spent all that she had, and she wasn't getting any better, but she was getting worse. So she was basically in a hopeless situation. She didn't have any. That things weren't getting better. You know, every doctor she went to, she paid them money, and they said, "Oh, we can fix this." And instead of fixing it, she only got worse. This is not a commentary against medical science. We're all for medical science, but medical science is limited. God's not limited.
That's right.
I said God's not limited.
Amen.
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 And she kept getting worse. She'd spent all that she had, but the Bible says then that she heard about Jesus.
Yeah.
Then she heard of Jesus. She heard about Jesus. Well, what happens when you hear about Jesus? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10 that faith comes.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
She heard about Jesus. She heard that Jesus was healing. She heard that Jesus was delivering. She heard that Jesus was setting people free. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. And so she heard about Jesus. And so what did she hear about Jesus? Well, what she was motivated to do, I think, gives us some insight in exactly what she heard. Because when she heard about Jesus, she began saying to herself, "You know, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole." So the Bible doesn't specifically say this, but I think what she probably heard was somebody, her cousin, her neighbor, her friend, probably came to her and said, "You know what, there's a man named Jesus, and people are getting healed, and the way they're getting healed is people are just coming up and they're touching him, and everybody that touches him gets healed."
Amen.
Amen. But the Bible says that that happened in Mark chapter 6 and other places. So it's very likely that she heard something like that. Or it could be that she just came up with that thought on her own. And she might have been the person who originated this phenomenon of touching Jesus. That's possible as well. Amen. Because this is in Mark 5 that this is recorded. In Mark 6, it's recorded where it says, the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Praise God. In either case, when she heard something about Jesus, and it had to be something positive. If she'd have heard, well, you know, Jesus can heal, but it might not be his will. Do you think she would have been motivated to say, you know, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole? No, she probably would have been motivated. She'd been suffering this for 12 years, and she was only getting worse. She's probably discouraged already. She probably thought, well, you know, it probably won't work for me. It had to be something positive. It had to be something that Jesus is healing all. He doesn't turn anybody away.
Amen.
That's the real gospel. Amen. That's the true word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So the Bible says that she did that. And so I want you to look at the progression here. What happened? Let's read it, but then you have to unravel it a little bit. It says in verse 27, go back to 27 there for me, Amy. In 27, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And then verse 28, for she said. So really the progression is she heard, and then she said, and then she came. Amen? She heard about Jesus, and as she heard about Jesus, she started saying to herself, she started saying, you know, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. You know what? She thought about it, and she began to say it. You know, if I touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. You know what? If I touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. Then all of a sudden she got a revelation. Hey, what am I doing sitting here? If I touch his clothes, I'll be whole.
Yeah.
And she marched out the door and she came through the crowd. She wasn't supposed to be out in public in her condition with the flow of blood. It was against the Jewish ceremonial law for her to do that. But she came anyway. She's obviously weak, been in this condition for years and was weakened. But she pressed through the crowd, came through, and she touched his garment and she was made whole. Praise God. So she heard, she said, and she came in touch, or she acted. And that's what I want to talk about today. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. Hallelujah. Let's see what this faith produced when she acted. Verse 29, it says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? You know what? Up to that point, Jesus was not aware that this woman was around. Jesus didn't know that she was around until he felt that healing virtue flow out of him. And he says, whoa, somebody touched me. And his disciples, you know, Jesus still working on them. Just like he's still working on you.
Amen.
But at that point, they were still dumber than a box of rocks. What do you mean, who touched me, Jesus? I mean, like, there's like 40,000 people around you. You know, everybody's touching you. He says, no, somebody touched me different.
Amen.
Somebody touched me with faith.
Amen.
Somebody touched me with faith.
Hallelujah.
And her faith drew the healing power of God out of Jesus and into her body.
Amen.
Amen. John G. Lake said this. He said, electricity is God's power in the natural realm.
Yeah.
The anointing, healing power, is God's power in the supernatural realm.
Amen.
Well, there's electricity. You know, this building is wired for electricity. And we've got there's lines coming in from that the power company has run, the main line coming into the building. And electricity is available. But when I came in this morning, it was dark in here. We had to turn some switches on. We had to plug some things in. Amen. To do what? To be able to tap in to that electricity. And we didn't call the power company and say, hey, it's dark in here this morning. Would you please send some power our way? That would have been foolish, wouldn't it?
Right.
No. We didn't have to call for the power company. We just had to turn the switch on.
Right. Amen.
And that's what faith is. Faith is plugging into the power of God. See, his healing power, just like electricity is, this room's wired for electricity. His healing power is present everywhere.
Amen.
He's wired the whole earth.
Yes, it is. Yes.
I said he's wired the whole earth with his healing power.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. You just got to find an outlet and plug into it.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's what faith did. She initiated her healing is the point I'm making here. She didn't wait until, well, maybe if it's Jesus' will to heal me, he'll let me know it is. No, Jesus didn't even know she was around. She initiated it. So here's another point. Jesus' willingness to heal is always turned on too.
Amen.
Jesus' willingness to heal is always, the on switch is always, or the switch is always on.
Yes.
For Jesus' willingness to heal. Amen. She didn't have to wait. She didn't plug in and get nothing and say, well, I guess it's not his will to heal today. That switch is always on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So that power flowed out of Jesus and into her body. And it happened because of her faith. Look at what Jesus said. Verse 32, he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Praise God. So this woman, again, she heard and then she said and then she came. What if she had never come? What if she had not acted? Would she have been made whole? No. See, we say this, we say that faith moves mountains, and it does. Jesus said that faith can move mountains, but you know the first thing that faith can move and should move and must move? It's you.
Amen.
Faith's got to move you first. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right. In James chapter 2, verse 17, this is in the New International Version, the Bible says this, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith has to be released in action. There has to be an action. There has to be an act that releases faith. Amen. And so faith is not just knowledge, it's action. Faith begins with knowledge, but it's not just knowledge, it's action. F.F. Bosworth, the great healing minister in the 20s and 30s and 40s, he said this. He said, faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't believe beyond actual knowledge. So it begins with knowledge, but it's not complete without action.
Right, amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Look with me at 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's go there and look at this account. This is the account of Naaman, the commander in the Syrian army who came to the prophet Elisha because he had leprosy, and he found out that he could be healed. There was an opportunity for him to be healed through the prophet of God. So he comes to Elisha the prophet, 2 Kings chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse 9. 2 Kings 5 in verse 9, it says, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Elisha was big on delegating. He never went out to anybody personally. He sent somebody else to do it. So he was a master delegator. And so he sent a messenger to Naaman, and he said, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. So what is this? What is God requiring through the prophet Elisha? What is God requiring of Naaman? He's requiring action. Was there any medicinal value in the muddy water of the Jordan River?
No.
No. It was simply an act of faith. It was what God was endeavoring to do. God was wanting to help Naaman, this Syrian army commander, receive his healing, but he knew that his faith had to be released by action. All right, and so I want to call a contrast here. See, the woman with the issue of blood, she initiated her own healing, and she came up with her own action. You know, we can do that. God honors that. God honors faith when we recognize and we see what God's doing, and we say, I want to be a part of it. This woman had heard that Jesus was healing, and she said, I want to go and be a part of that. Amen?
Amen?
But then here's the other side of it. God also honors faith when we obey the divine instructions that He gives to us.
Right.
This is another part of releasing our faith through action. And this is what Naaman was being called upon to do. He said, the prophet sent word through his messenger, go and wash, or go and dip, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you'll be clean. Did Naaman receive that? He didn't. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, but Naaman became furious, and he went away, and he said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. He had preconceived ideas and notions about how he was going to receive his healing. You know, a lot of people miss their healing because of that. A lot of times, sometimes people can miss their miracle because they say, well, it's got to happen this way. God's got to do it this way. That's what Naaman was thinking. He said, God's got to do it this way. The prophet's going to come out. He's going to wave his hand over me. He's going to call on the name of his God. And that's how it's going to happen. Go dip in the Jordan River. And he says in verse 12, he says, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? You're missing the point, Naaman. It's not the cleanness of the river. It's the act of obedience that releases faith. All right. So he turned and went away in a rage. Thank God he had his servants that were with him. Thank God they had some good sense. And thank God they stepped in. They wanted their master to be healed. And in verse 13, his servants came near and spoke to him. His servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? Anybody seen the movie Nacho Libre? Anybody seen that movie? You need to go watch Nacho Libre. Nacho Libre, he's told to go and to climb. Remember the scene where he climbs up the mountain and he has to get the egg of the great eagle. And if he'll eat the egg of the raw egg of the great eagle, then he'll have strength to be a luchador, a wrestler. Okay. You ever seen Nacho Libre? It's good. It's funny, isn't it? But anyway, he said, if he told you to do something great, Nacho Libre was supposed to do something great. That was a hard thing to climb up there. And then after he eats it, then he cliff dives, you know, hundreds of feet into the water. So somehow survived. But he says, no, he says, you don't have to do anything great here. He says, how much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? Look, just do it. Just go do it.
Yes, amen.
So thank God he listened to his servants. Verse 14, so he went down and he dipped in the Jordan. He dipped one time and he comes up and he's not clean. 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. And he dips that 7th time and he comes up and the leprosy is completely gone. His flesh is, the Bible says, restored. Restored. Because you know what? Leprosy begins to eat away. At your extremities. His flesh was restored. What a miracle. What a healing. Amen. But he almost missed it. He almost missed it by not simply obeying the instruction that was given to him. There's another account of lepers being healed that I want us to look at in the ministry of Jesus in Luke 17. You know this story. About the lepers, verse 12, that came to Jesus. It says, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. Why did Jesus say that? Why did Jesus say, go, show yourselves to the priest? Well, they weren't supposed to go and show themselves to the priest unless they had been healed. That was the, in fact, there's another account of a leper being healed in Mark's gospel, in Mark chapter 1. And that leper, Jesus, after Jesus healed him, he said, now go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded as a testimony that you're healed. And so when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, Jesus is saying, I want you to act like you're already healed, even though you're not healed yet in your body. I want you to act like it's already yours. I want you to act like it's already done. Well, they, instead of questioning, instead of saying, we can't do that, we can't go to the priest, we're not healed, we want you to heal us, they simply obeyed. They simply followed what Jesus said to do. And the Bible says, and it's so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. What a miracle. They're on their way to the priest and they're a mile away and they still have leprosy. And they're three quarters of a mile away. And they say, you know, wait, something's happening here. Something's changing. And they get half a mile away. And it's about halfway gone. And they get a quarter mile away. And the leprosy's almost gone. And they show up at the priest. And the leprosy's completely gone. Amen. And they're cleansed.
Amen.
Praise God. But they did that. That happened because they acted. Yes. They acted on the instruction that Jesus gave them. Faith is an act. Acting in faith means acting as though you already have the answer. That's not putting something on. That's faith.
Amen.
That's not trying to put up a front. Now, it could be if you don't really believe, but there's faith to that. There's faith in that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. If you had a comment, go ahead.
Naaman
didn't believe at first. He didn't. Yeah. He didn't believe at first, but he got talked into believing, thank God. Thank God he had good friends that talked him into it. Amen. Praise God. But he simply acted. Somewhere in the action, you know, that faith came. Amen. All right. Praise God. Another account back with Elisha. Let's look at this. 2 Kings 13. I've seen this happen a lot through the years. And I want to call your attention to this, because are we really in faith or are we just going through the motions? Are we really in faith or are we just going through the motions? If we're just going through the motions, we won't get any result that way. So here's an account in 2 Kings chapter 13. The king of Israel comes to Elisha. In verse 15, it says, Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. What is he doing? He said, I want you to do something as an action here that represents something that God wants to do. It's again, it's an action that is releasing faith or is meant to release faith. All right. So he says, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Verse 17 now. And he said, open the east window. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he didn't say shoot like we say, oh man, I spilled the milk. Shoot. No, shoot. Okay. He said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. So that arrow that he shot was symbolic of the Lord's deliverance. He was called upon to take an action of faith that was to symbolize what God was going to do for them. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
That's why God moves on people to do things like that at different times. Mm-hmm. You know, take a step of faith that symbolizes what God wants to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. And so he says, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Verse 18. Then he said, take the arrows. So he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So it says, so he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry at him, verse 19, and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. And the Bible doesn't say this, but it infers it here that the king was just doing this like, oh, this crazy prophet, you know, I'm going to get him off my back. Okay, strike the arrows. Okay, is that enough? You know, is that okay? And the prophet said, look, your heart wasn't in this. There was no faith here. You were just going through the motions. You were just doing this to get me off your back. You know, I've seen people do that through the years. You'll instruct them, you know, do something you couldn't do or take a step of faith. And I get this guy off my back. Amen. I know none of you have ever been there and ever done that. Amen. So are we doing these things as an act of faith or just to get the person off our back? Mm-hmm. Are we doing it half-heartedly or do we genuinely believe? Listen, if you're in a situation to where your healing, your deliverance, your miracle depends on you taking a step of faith, do it wholeheartedly.
Amen.
Don't do it half-heartedly. There are times in the service where the Lord will, will prompt me to have us do certain things, and you know, either in praise or in confessions or declarations. Don't do those things half-heartedly. Don't say, well, nobody's going to make me do anything. I'm an American. I'm free. Nobody's going to make me do anything. Well, is it really? You might miss your miracle then.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
You might miss your miracle. Amen?
Amen.
Be open to what God leads you to do.
Amen.
Be ready. Be quick to obey.
Yes.
Be quick to step out in faith. Be quick to release your faith. Be quick to act. Amen? Praise God.
Yes.
Let's look at a couple more examples here. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. The story of Bartimaeus. We call him blind Bartimaeus, but he didn't stay blind. Amen? He didn't stay blind. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, it says, "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Verse 49, "So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.'" Verse 50 is so significant. I want you to see this. "And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus."
Amen.
And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. The garment, he didn't throw that garment aside just because it was getting warm and he was a little sweaty. The garment that he threw aside was the garment that identified him. It was his lanyard. They would have given him a lanyard today, and they would have given him a badge that said, "Okay, this man is not just out here trying to hustle you. He is legally blind. He's been certified by a doctor. He is blind, and he is worthy of your charity because he's blind." It was a garment that he wore that certified him as one who was worthy of people's charity because he was blind. Look at what he did. He threw it aside.
Yes.
He threw it aside.
Amen.
You know, I know people have to try to prove that they're healed. "Well, I'm going to prove I'm healed. I'm going to throw my glasses down and step on them, or I'm going to throw away my medicine." Well, this was not his medication. This was just something that identified. I'm not telling you to throw away your medication. That's not a step of faith. Be wise about that. You know, so this was not something that was medication for him. It was something that identified him as a blind beggar. He said, "I am losing that identity today. I'm losing that identity today. I'm not going to need this anymore because I'm asking Jesus to have mercy on me." And Jesus, in verse 51, Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for..." What if Jesus asked you that today? Let's stop on that right for... What if Jesus asked you that today? What would be your answer? What if Jesus spoke to you today, appeared to you today and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Would you have an answer?
Mm-hmm.
Would you have something?
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
Well, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And he's saying to you and to me today, "What do you want me to do for you?"
Amen.
Praise God. So Bartimaeus, he made it clear. He said, the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, that I may receive my sight." Verse 52, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.'" Whose faith?
His faith.
"Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. What a great miracle. What a great healing. And what precipitated that miracle, that healing? Jesus said it was Bartimaeus' faith that made him whole. Now, it was Jesus' power, obviously. But it was Bartimaeus' faith. How was that faith released? It was released when he shed that garment. It was released when he took that garment off that said, you know, I'm not going to be identified as a blind man anymore. I'm not going to need this identity as a blind beggar anymore. I'm shedding that identity. I'm getting rid of that identity. That's not who I am, blind Bartimaeus. I'm seeing Bartimaeus from this day forward. Hallelujah. Amen. And he got that. Praise God. Let's look at one more example in Scripture. Then I'm going to give you a couple of personal stories to wrap this up. In Acts chapter 14. So let me say this to you as you turn there. Acting in faith means laying aside the things that marked you as blind or whatever condition the enemy had you bound with. Acting in faith means laying those things aside.
Amen.
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 Praise God. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. We'll start in verse number 7. It's kind of I may have to give you a little bit of background here. In verse 7, it says, and they were preaching the gospel there. But it's important that you see what they were doing. This is talking about Paul and his ministry team. And they were in Lystra, an area that one of the cities was Lystra, another city was Derbe, and this region that they were in. And they were preaching the gospel there. In verse 8 says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple for how long? From his mother's womb, who had never walked. So here's an adult man, and he's been crippled from the womb. He's never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. What was Paul speaking? Yeah. Verse 7 says he was speaking the gospel. He was speaking the good news. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing he had faith to be healed. I would have loved to have heard that sermon that Paul preached. It had to be so positive. It had to be so positive that this man who had been crippled all his life and had never walked, from hearing the gospel, from hearing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, one message brought faith into his heart that he could be healed.
Amen.
Glory to God. One message, one word from God destroyed and cut through all of that disappointment and all those years of you were born this way and you'll always be this way. The gospel, the good news of Jesus cut through all of that and brought faith into that man's heart that he could be healed. Isn't that awesome? No wonder the devil's afraid of God's word. No wonder he comes immediately to try to steal it. He has more faith in the word than most of us do. It's so powerful. God's word is so powerful if you'll get into it. And if you'll get it in you, it's so powerful.
Amen.
It's so powerful. Praise God. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. All right, stop right there. Let's pause it. Can you see this picture? We're pausing it right here. The man has faith in his heart to be healed, but he's still sitting there crippled. Right?
Yeah.
Does he have faith to be healed? He has faith to be healed, but so far, the faith hasn't produced anything. So far, he's still sitting there, crippled, even though he's got faith to be healed. And Paul perceives this. I don't know, maybe his face lights up, you know. And you know, sometimes you can tell people are getting it.
Amen.
So it might have just been that Paul, he could just tell this guy was getting it. He could tell this guy was receiving. And or maybe the Holy Spirit supernaturally revealed it. I don't know. But in any case, Paul perceived or observed him and saw, King James says perceived, that he had faith to be healed. He says he realizes, oh, this man's got faith to be healed. This cripple, he's got faith to be healed. But he's still sitting there crippled. So what does Paul do? Paul says, I want to help this guy. Paul was prompted by the Holy Spirit. And look at the next verse. It says, he said, verse 10, he said with a loud voice, stand up. He might have scared, might have startled him. He said, stand up. And so the guy goes, okay. And he stands up and he goes, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be able to do this. But the Bible says he leaped and walked. Never walked. He crippled from birth. Crippled from birth. And Paul says, stand up. What is that? He's getting him to release his faith. Faith is an act. He has faith in his heart to be healed, but he's still sitting there crippled. So Paul says, stand up.
That's it.
To get him to release his faith. And the guy says, okay. And he stands up. And to his amazement, he's healed. And he can run. He leaps and he walks.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. That's what happened to the man in Acts chapter 3 that was healed. It says he went walking and leaping into the temple and praising God. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. When Jesus heals you, you're able to leap. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to play basketball, let Jesus heal you and he'll put some leaping ability into you. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right. Praise God. Reed, you can come on up wherever you're at. There you are back there. I want to close this up with a couple of stories here. One is one that I've heard related many times by Dad Hagin, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, who founded Rhema Bible Training Center and Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and the ministries reached millions of people around the world. But it didn't start out that way. This ministry started when Kenneth E. Hagin was a teenage boy. He got born again. He had several conditions, terminal conditions. He had a deformed heart, an incurable blood disease. He was paralyzed. He got born again when he was 15 or 16 years old in that situation. And then after he got born again, he started reading the Bible, and he started getting hope in his heart that he could be healed.
Amen.
Do I have to die, Lord? Do I have to die like this? Do I have to die as a young boy, having never really lived? And the more he read in the Scripture, the more he read in the Word of God, he said, I was a Baptist boy reading Grandma's Methodist Bible. And so the more he read in the Word of God, the more he began to see and get light, get revelation that he could be healed. Till finally, he became so convinced that healing was God's will, and that he had faith to be healed, that he prayed to the Lord. He said he just couldn't make the connection to, where am I missing it? I know that healing is right. I know God wants me healed. I know it's His will, but I'm missing it somewhere. I'm not making the connection. Or he didn't know what was happening, but he just knew. He said, I know that I believe. And so finally he prayed this way. He said, Dear Lord Jesus, he said, with all due respect to you, he said, if you were to come to me today, and if you were to speak to me face to face and say, son, your problem is you don't believe. He said, Dear Lord Jesus, I would have to say you're lying about it, because I do believe. I know that I believe. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him after he said that. It's all right to pray that way to the Lord. He's big enough. The Holy Spirit spoke to him and he said, you do believe, all right, as far as you know. As far as you know. And then the Holy Spirit continued to guide him over the next, I think it was just a matter of days, that faith has to be released. He guided him into this. He said, you have to believe that you receive. Mark 11, 20, 23 and 24. 24 says, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. And he says, okay, I'll do that. He said, so one day he prayed and he said, I believe that I receive healing for the paralysis. I believe that I receive healing for my deformed heart. I believe I receive healing for the incurable blood disease. I believe that I receive healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet.
Amen.
I believe that I receive.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, okay, you believe you're well now. He said, I sure do. Amen. I believe I'm healed. He said, well, what are you doing in bed? It's 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, people ought to be up. He said, that's right. All right. Paralyzed, could move just a little bit, reached his arms around the bedpost and drug himself to the side of the bed, took his legs and lifted them off the side of the bed. They hit the floor, he said, like chunks of wood. Just no feeling, you know, still paralyzed, no feeling there. But he did what he could, and he pulled himself up and he hung on to the bedpost with all of his strength, and he began to praise God. Lord, thank you that I'm healed. Thank you that I'm healed. And he said as he did that, he said it was like he was hitting the top of his head with a bucket of warm honey, began to pour all over. He felt. He didn't feel until he acted. Sometimes people are waiting until they feel before they act.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't feel a thing, but he acted. And he said it was like a bucket of warm honey began to pour over his head. And as it flowed down, he began to feel, and life came. And finally that power flowed into his legs that had been paralyzed, where there'd been no feeling. And he said it was like I was being stuck with 1,000 needles in my legs. He said, it hurt so bad, but it felt so good. And in a few minutes' time, he's standing up completely. And he only weighed 89 pounds. He's 16 years old, but he only weighed 89 pounds, just a skeleton. So he's still physically weak from that, but he's standing up healed.
Amen.
Completely healed. The next morning, he asked his, he told his mom, or that night, he said, "Mom," he said, "I want you to put my clothes out. I'm going to come eat breakfast with y'all in the morning."
Amen.
So she put the clothes out, and she said, "Son, do you know what you're..." Yeah, Mom, just do it. So she put his clothes out. The next morning, he got up and he got dressed, and he said, his grandpa always went out on the front porch and sat on the swing while the ladies were getting breakfast ready. And he said at 7:30 he got up and you'd always hear the porch swing creak when Grandpa got up. He said you knew it was 7:30. He said if your watch said it wasn't 7:30, then reset it because it's 7:30. Grandpa ran on schedule, and so he gets dressed. He hears Grandpa the porch swing creak. Grandpa's getting up off the porch, going to the table. He says, "Waits a minute till everybody gets okay. They're all seated now." And then he comes walking in to the breakfast room, to the dining room. His grandpa looked up and he said, "Is Lazarus raised? Is the dead raised up?" He said, "Yeah, Grandpa, the Lord's healed."
Yes.
Hallelujah.
"Yeah, Grandpa, the Lord's healed me."
Amen.
And he lived to be, doctors told him he had to die, and he lived to be 80, yep, into his 87th year.
Wow.
He passed 86, didn't quite make 87, but he had a wonderful... What if he hadn't acted?
Right.
This church wouldn't be here.
Right.
You wouldn't be hearing this message today. I know that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have gone there and been trained. There wouldn't have been no rhema for me to go get trained.
My Lord.
Thank God.
Thank God.
I'll tell you another story just to wrap this up on how we got this building. We'd started Coming New Life Church at the time in 1988. And we were starting to grow, and we were filling up our little building on Mary Alice Park Road. And we were beginning to think about, okay, what can we do to expand, or what can we do? We were growing, we need more room. And we noticed this building here that had been built just a couple years before. It was a furniture store, and it had gone out of business and sitting empty here. And I thought, wow, that'd make a nice church building. And so then we found out that it was being auctioned. And so I thought, maybe we should, try to get the building. So we went to our bank, and the bank laughed at us. And they said, "No, we're not going to, you've not been in existence long enough. We're not going to loan you any money." And as a step of faith, Paul and I came to the auction. I don't know if anybody else came with us, but I know me and you came. We came to the auction right out here in the parking lot. I thought, somebody may show up with the money that they want to give to us and, for us to buy this building. So we came to the auction, and that person must have missed God. They didn't show up. And so the mayor of Cumming, who's the ex-mayor now, he was mayor for 40-something years. He just lost in the election the other day. But the mayor of Cumming was the high bid at the auction. And so we found out later that it was not an absolute auction, but they were negotiating. The owner of the building was the Small Business Administration. They had made the loan, and then they had taken the building back, and when the company went out of business. And so they were negotiating with the mayor at that time. And I think his bid that day was $169,000, I think is what it was. And so we kind of moved on from that and thought, God, if it's not this building, you've got something better for us. And that was in October of 1991. In March of 1992, I was listening to a message by Dad Hagen about possessing the land. And and in that message, he just talked about, the children of Israel. He said, go and possess the land. And everywhere you set your foot, everywhere the sole of your foot rests, I'll give you that land. Well, they had to act, didn't they?
Right.
They had to act. God said, I'll give you every place where you put your foot.
Amen.
I'll give you every place where you step, or where you tread, or where you act, where you go to. As I was listening to that, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. We hadn't thought about this building in several months. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, that building on Highway 9 is yours. Go and claim it. And I said, oh, okay, all right. And I got busy, and I didn't go that day, and I didn't go the next day. And I think about that was on a Thursday, I believe, that he spoke to me. On Monday, we're getting ready to go out of town to a minister's meeting. Another couple's going with us. And I would have been out running some errands and got home, and there was a message on my answering machine. Remember answering machines? There was a message on my answering machine. It was Paul. And we hadn't talked about the building in months. And he said, hey, he said, I just found out that building on Highway 9 is still available. Well, the Holy Spirit spoken to me just 3 days before. That building on Highway 9 is yours. Go and claim it. Talking about this building. He said, hey, I found out that building on Highway 9 is still available. I don't know if we're still interested in it or not, but I thought I'd let you know. It's what the message said. So we're getting ready to go out of town. I called Paul back and I said, hey, Paul, yes, please find out what you can. We're going out of town to a minister's meeting. Find out what you can, and we'll touch base when we get back. And so on the way out of town, we stopped in. Robin and I stopped in along with another couple that was traveling with us, and we stood out on the. Stood out on the sidewalk out there, this building. We joined hands. Lord, we claim it. We claim this building. That was March of 1992. To make a long story short, we had the first service in this building, December 30th, 1992.
Amen. Amen.
I could go into more details about the miraculous way that God moved, but it all started. What if we did not? Nothing happened at the auction that day, but I believe taking that step was important. I think it was important for us to show up.
Yes.
I know it was important for us to come out and stand and join hands and pray. It seemed insignificant. What good is that going to do? It put God into operation. It put God to work in our behalf. Praise God. So what's your step of faith today in your situation? You have faith. It just needs to be released. What's your point of contact? Acting in faith is a point of contact. The woman with the issue of blood, that was her point of contact. When I touch his clothes, I'm going to be made whole. What's your point of contact for your miracle? What is it? What is your, as they went, the lepers, as they went, they were healed. How can you do that? What is your, as they went, for your situation? What is the beggar's garment that you need to throw aside? Whatever it is, do it. Act on it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray.